This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up less than a week after President Trump said his administration would vigorously protect and promote religious liberty, the new Secretary of the Department of Agriculture released a policy statement on the First Amendment that I'm sure the left will have a beef with. Louisiana Congressman and constitutional attorney Mike Johnson joins me for that discussion in just a moment. And earlier today, FRC hosted a lecture on the left's relentless effort to silence free speech. Kimberly Strassel of the Wall Street Journal will be here to talk about her book, The Intimidation Game, How the Left is Silencing Free Speech. Also, we'll again discuss the World Summit in Defense of Persecuted Christians that is going on today and tomorrow in Washington. We'll be joined by my friend, Pastor Stephen Corey, who is here from Jerusalem. We'll also be taking your calls a little bit later, so don't go anywhere. We're going to be taking your calls a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. Let me remind you, pastors, if you're listening, coming up just in 2 weeks, the annual Watchman on the Wall pastors briefing in Washington, D.C. Still have a few, and I emphasize few, spots remaining. If you'd like to be a part of that, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, the Secretary of Agriculture, Sonny Perdue, is declaring the USDA's commitment to safeguarding every American's First Amendment rights. Joining us now is Congressman Mike Johnson, who represents the 4th Congressional District of Louisiana. Prior to being elected to Congress, he was a constitutional attorney arguing dozens and dozens of religious liberty cases. Mike, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, it didn't take long. Last week in the Rose Garden, last Thursday, the president signed an executive order saying his administration would vigorously protect and promote religious freedom, and now we have an agency that, unfortunately, under the last administration, had a very poor record when it came to religious freedom. The new secretary apparently putting out a policy statement saying they're going to correct it.
He did, and we applaud that. I think it was a necessary action. You know, we did see that over the last 8 years, certainly during the last administration, really a crackdown on religious speech and religious freedom and the right of conscience. And some of these agencies just got really out of control with this censorship idea. And so now we have a new sheriff in town. We've got a new president. We have new secretaries and cabinet secretaries and leaders of all these agencies. And they're taking this necessary corrective action. So we've applauded this effort by Secretary Perdue. It's the right move at the right time. And I hope it sends the appropriate message that religious liberty really should, really has to. We have a legal obligation to respect that among every American citizen, and it's an order whose time has come.
Now, some folks would be asking, now, what does the Department of Agriculture have to do with religious freedom? Well, if you listened to the program a week or so ago, actually last week we talked about this case, the West Michigan Beef Company. It's a small business owned by Don Vanderboon, about 45 employees. In 2015, as the assault on marriage was conducted by the court, he put some information about biblical marriage on the break room table. It's his company. It's his business. The two inspectors from the USDA walked through the break room, saw it, called their supervisor, went to his office, called him to his office, shut the door when he came in, and said, if you don't remove this material, we're removing our inspectors, which meant his business would be shut down. Now, Mike, you, an attorney, you've argued a number of these religious liberty cases. What was your take on Secretary Perdue's statement? Now, understanding this is a broad statement, it'll be carried out throughout the ranks of the agency with various policies. But how do you grade his statement?
I thought it was a concise statement. I think he expressed the principles that we all believe in very well. He said, in effect, well, here's a quote. He said that we intend to chart a course that respects the principles enshrined in our Constitution, unquote. And he elaborates a little bit about what that means. That, look, we do respect one another. And part of being respectful, part of being an American, part of living in a country that respects and honors the principles of free speech and the free marketplace of ideas, is that sometimes we have to be subjected to ideas that we may or may not agree with. Right. I mean, what a concept, right? The radical left, for many years, you and I well know, we spent much of our careers sort of defending against this movement. They've been pursuing this sort of aggressive strategy to censor and silence viewpoints with which they disagree. It's created a generation of snowflakes, as we're all lamenting now on these college campuses, and they can hardly tolerate any dissent at all to this radical leftist worldview, secularist agenda. But that's not what America is about. It's not what we were founded upon. And these are bedrock principles of who we are as Americans, that we respect others' ideas. We respect one another. We don't have to agree, but the idea of the free marketplace, where we can come in the public square and debate and sharpen one another in our views and express ourselves freely, and even disagree, but do it in an agreeable way, that seems to be waning now, and it's a very unfortunate development in our culture.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about that more in our next segment with Kimberly Strassel of the Wall Street Journal about her book, The Intimidation Game, because, you know, the left, they can't defend their positions in most cases, so they want to silence the debate. They don't want to have a debate or a discussion because their positions often are indefensible. In fact, I want to read the policy statement, at least a portion of it, from the secretary. And this is actually dated May the 8th, so this came out earlier in the week. He said, "Today I want to reestablish this department's commitment to safeguarding every American's First Amendment rights." Now, I just want a little commentary here. I want to reestablish. So there's a recognition that it's off center, that there is a problem. Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, particularly the right to free speech and the right to free religious exercise. USDA is committed to protecting both. I expect each and every USDA employee to uphold their fellow Americans' First Amendment freedoms. Whether we are inspecting private businesses for compliance with food safety laws or protecting our public lands for recreation, cultivation, and preservation, we must set the example of our nation's highest ideals. Doing so, listen to this, doing so is not optional and is not discretionary. It is one of the crucial reasons why we exist. I think it's pretty straightforward.
It is pretty straightforward, and I think it's a very well done articulation of these basic ideas that we've devoted our careers to defending. Look, we often explain why religious liberty is regarded as our first freedom, and you've talked about this so often. But, you know, the right to believe, the right of conscience, the right to believe and then to act in accordance with that sincerely held religious belief is essential to who we are as Americans, but even more fundamental than that, essential to who we are as human beings. And when the founders set all of this in place, and they articulated so well, Jefferson wrote in the Declaration that these are self-evident truths. It's something you cannot not know, that all of us are created equal. We're endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, that God gives us these rights. And among the most fundamental is the right to believe and to think and to exercise your faith. And that's what has been really gradually being diminished and taken away over the last several decades. You know, the separation of church and state metaphor that's so often misused, and the left has made that their mantra for the last half century, it really has created in this current generation of Americans, Tony, a dichotomy. There's a dichotomy between our religious life and our public life, and they've convinced an entire generation of Americans that that's true, and that so maybe what you may still do on Sunday morning with your church congregation, that's okay, and if you're in the safe four walls of your church, but you got to keep it there. You can't bring those religious ideas and those sentiments into the public square on Monday at work, or heaven forbid, into the political arena, or out into the public square, because it's offensive to other people. So you have to keep it to yourself. And they've convinced us, many, many Americans, that that's true. And so religion is being gradually pushed into a corner, gradually diminished in its importance, and there are some very serious consequences that befall any people that really fall into that trap.
Like the West Michigan Beef Company, just trying to do business according to biblical principles, and they are overtly a Christian company, have that on their website. The employees know it, have no problem with it, but the federal government had a beef with it. Fortunately, the new administration is on the path to correcting that. And I would say I applaud the statement from Secretary Sonny Perdue and look forward to seeing the policies that come from that. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana, also a member of the House Judiciary Committee. And I want to shift gears here a bit, Mike. Obviously, still in the news is the firing of James Comey, FBI director, by the president. You sit on the Judiciary Committee, which has oversight of the judiciary and over the FBI. Your thoughts on the president releasing Comey?
I believe that it was the right decision to release him. You know, he, over the course of the last several months, has managed to offend almost everyone in Washington, Democrats and Republicans alike. And I thought in several instances exercised very surprising judgment, poor judgment in my estimation. So I do think it's time for a change. I think, you know, the FBI, it's critical that be a highly regarded and respected institution. It's just critical to our system of justice. And so we have to get that right. You know, I think some of the questions being raised about the timing and the method in which that was done are legitimate. And, you know, I expect that the process will play out and we'll delve into that. You know, I expect that the Judiciary Committee in the House and the Senate will be asked to look into some of it, and we will. And I'm not concerned at all about where any of those inquiries may lead in terms of the administration. But you know, I think a lot of lessons are being learned all around Washington and all around the Hill. In the legislative branch, executive branch, this is a new day. And, you know, we have a president who had never served in the Congress before, didn't have experience in the political arena as an elected official. And he's learning, I think, some of the nuance of being the president of the United States. And sometimes they're painful lessons, but I think that they'll be doing things more cleanly in terms of process going forward.
Well, given how the left responds to almost everything he does, do you think he could do any of this in any different way that would not be met with opposition?
No, I think that's exactly right, Coney. I mean, it doesn't matter what he does. He's going to be criticized. He's going to be questioned. There'll be conspiracy theorists that come out of the woodwork. I mean, he really is darned if he does and darned if he doesn't. And it's a almost impossible position to be in as the commander-in-chief. When you have an entire media establishment opposed to you. So, in that way, you understand sometimes some of his motivation. He feels like he's not going to get a fair shake for what he does, and so, you know, he uses, his Twitter account, for example, to communicate directly with the American people. And I've spoken with him about this personally, and he says it's essential. It's an essential tool for him because he can't get a fair shake. He can't get an accurate message to the people unless he goes around the media. And so I have some real sympathy for him in that regard. And you know, it is what it is. This is the current environment in Washington, and I don't know if it'll change going forward.
Well, if he'd like, I'll let him host my radio program one day. That's one way to get around the media. It's better than a Twitter account.
He'd enjoy it. I think he would enjoy it.
It's great to be able to talk in more than 140 characters at a time. Mike Johnson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate you. Keep up the great work.
All right, Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. I'm serious. I'll let him, if he wants to host my program, I'll let him do it. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation in part that we were talking about how the left is seeking to silence. And, of course, they've been using the government. They have other tools. Kimberly Strassel with the Wall Street Journal is here when we come back, so don't go away. There's more Washington Watch to come right after this.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent. perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Mother's Day is upon us. We know this mostly because of all the merchants selling their wares, as if jewelry, flowers, and other trinkets make the day. Material gifts are nice, but imagine if they were accompanied by acts of love to show your appreciation for Mom. She said yes to life when you were conceived, and for some, the circumstances were difficult at best. For others, Mom came to you through adoption, when she lovingly chose you above the others. Being a mother is the most underpaid, overworked, unappreciated, yet highly cherished job in the world. Your mom will have a great Mother's Day if what you do for her reflects this. Let her know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all her sacrifice and love poured into you was worth the effort.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Now available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right. There was a time when the left claimed to be the champion of civil liberties. In fact, I guess they still claim, but the left is orchestrating a coordinated campaign to bully Americans into silence. If you don't agree, you have free speech as long as you agree with them. But if you disagree, then they want to not argue with you because, as I said earlier with Mike Johnson, Congressman Johnson, they can't defend their position, so they want to silence the opposition. With us now is Kimberly Strassel. She is the author of The Intimidation Game and a member of the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal. She writes editorials as well as for the weekly Potomac Watch political column from her base in Washington, D.C. And I mentioned this earlier in the program, but she spoke at FRC today at one of our lectures. Kimberly, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, it's such an honor to be here. Thank you.
And a great job today at the lecture. Great reviews, and just appreciate you speaking to this issue with such clarity. In your book, you discuss the motivation that is behind the left's intimidation. And before I get to that, I just want to give our listeners the premise of your book and then what is behind this intimidation effort.
Yeah, the idea behind the book is that what we have witnessed over the last 8 years is a coordinated, well-honed campaign done by the same actors again and again to intimidate people out of speech, to do it in ways that go beyond the campus speech debate, for instance, or through riots or shaming, but rather, and very scarily, by using institutions of government and prosecutorial powers to scare people out of speaking. And my argument is that what drove this is, for many years, the left relied on campaign finance laws, I like to call them speech laws, as a way of silencing their opponents. When the Supreme Court in 2010 issued its Citizens United ruling and restored all kinds of rights to different groups to speak and spend money in elections, the left decided that if they could no longer use the law to bar their opponents from speaking, they would instead send the message that everyone would pay a price if they continued to exercise those rights, and that's when we started to see the intimidation and harassment.
So we've seen this intimidation, really, especially in the last 8 years. We saw it both in government, through the federal government, through policies, but also we've seen this even moving into corporate America.
Yes, and this occupies a big part of my book. You see coordinated campaigns by activist groups, Democratic senators, to go after any company that exercises constitutional right to take part in elections. And they do it in a variety of ways. Some of them are coordinated attacks and blackmail efforts against companies that engage in politics. The left will brand them all kinds of unsavory names, you know, racist or homophobic or whatever it is, and threaten to run ads in their home states and where their board members live if they continue to spend money in elections. We see it through boycotts. We see it through proxy fights. Liberal investment groups that will buy $100 worth of shares so that they can then put a proxy forward that would ban the company from taking part. This has been a very big part of their campaign.
When you see what has happened since the election, you know, they kind of lost the reins of the federal government, which, was, as I said, was a big platform for them. But they certainly, in my view, have not stepped back in any form or fashion, but really they seem to have stepped up their intimidation.
Yes, because, look, I have a big belief that the other thing that inspired all of this intimidation, part of it was a fear of getting wiped out in the 2010 midterms and a fear of the Tea Party and activist groups on the right that were pouring in opposition to Obama. But part of it was simply the realization that they could no longer persuade people of their arguments, that the party had become something that intellectually was not in tune anymore with the country. And when you can't win your arguments on the merits, your best shot is to shut down the opposition. And so that's the decision that they took. And we see that in particular now. They just suffered an enormous wipeout at the polls. What they ought to be doing is stopping and thinking, why is it that we are so out of tune with most Americans? And instead, they've decided they're going to riot in the street, protest, resist, and try to disrupt ordinary society and stop people from being engaged.
I'm talking with Kimberly Strassel. She is the author of The Intimidation Game, a book that's out, it was recently out, How the Left is Silencing Free Speech. It's pretty fascinating. Kimberly, when you put all of this together, this coordinated effort to silence, you know, really they're wanting to silence those who they disagree with, who they cannot defend their positions on so many of these issues and their viewpoints, so they want to silence. Where do they go now that they are losing the ability to use the federal government to do it? Where do you see them going next?
Well, they lost a lot of their tools when they lost the White House, because this is a big part of my book, talking about the degree to which they had co-opted the federal bureaucracy to go after their opponents. And, of course, one of the best examples of that was the IRS targeting of Tea Party and conservative groups. So they lost that weapon, and obviously they've lost the levers of power in other ways as well, too. I think we see it in two profound ways. One, we're going to see a step up, and you are already seeing this, in another big tactic that they like to use, which is prosecutorial abuse. Prosecutors of a liberal bent going after political opponents. One of the best examples we're watching of that right now are these 17 different attorneys general who have come together and are threatening to potentially bring racketeering charges against Exxon and about 100 different conservative groups for the supposed crime of thinking the wrong way on climate change. And I think you'll see a much more aggressive attorney general presence in Democratic states going after people on a variety of boosted-up charges. Mm-hmm. That's one. And then I think you'll see a sustained campaign, an expansion of the campaign that they've already had, to paint political spending as bad, to suggest that there are secret networks of people that are running politics in an effort to gin up more support for a return to restrictive campaign finance laws that once again give them the ability to silence their opponents. Nobody should forget in this last election.
Hey, Kimberly, we got to leave it there. We're up against a break. I want to thank you for joining us. Great book, great lecture today. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
You know, so many of us put money in our money market account. That's a good place to put it, right? It's safe. We don't have to worry about it being exposed to the markets. It should be FDIC insured, because certainly if it's in a bank, it would be FDIC insured. So if there was ever a collapse of that particular bank, you would at least be able to take some peace knowing that it's insured and you're going to be covered and you're not going to lose money. Here's a couple of things about money market accounts that you need to know. One is you need to understand if you have a mutual fund money market account, it's not FDIC insured. That's important to note. As a matter of fact, in 2008, when we had the beginning of the financial crisis, there were many money market account mutual funds that dipped below the value that they had before the crisis, meaning that a dollar that was in there was no longer worth a dollar. That put, of course, fear in the financial markets. As a matter of fact, it prompted an immediate law to increase FDIC insurance to $250,000. Dollars because people were flocking out of money market accounts and moving into the banks. They're not always FDIC insured. If that is important to you, you need to ask the question, is this account FDIC insured? If it isn't, then you may want to consider moving it to a bank if that is important to you, the safety of FDIC insurance.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, as we've been talking about, the World Summit in Defense of Persecuted Christians is underway. Tomorrow, it's going on today and tomorrow here in Washington, D.C. This is being sponsored by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Over 600 individuals who have been the victims of persecution are here to speak and to bring greater awareness to this issue of what's happening around the world. Well, one of the speakers today is a good friend of ours, Pastor Stephen Corey from Israel. He pastors in Jerusalem. His father pastors a church in Bethlehem. I've been there a number of times. And they're right there in the middle of Palestinian Authority. And, well, let's just say they're not friendly. Stephen, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Brother Tony. Thank the team. And thanks for all that you do for the church in America.
Well, it's so good to hear your voice. How's your father?
He's doing well. He sends his greetings. He's still going strong, sharing the gospel and talking about hope through the gospel of Christ. That's the answer for the Middle East.
Well, let me ask you about that. I haven't been to the Middle East since the election, since Donald Trump was elected here in the United States. But has that caused a shift there in the Middle East? Is there a sense now that those that have been persecuted for their faith may find a stronger advocate here in the United States?
There's no doubt about that, brother. In fact, the sentiment or the outlook of when it comes down to respect or thinking twice towards America has started since literally within the first 24 hours of Donald Trump taking office. The people on the streets are talking differently. They're saying now America won't back down. America won't be quiet if somebody attacks them. The respect is increasing from the Middle Eastern perspective towards America. Today we had VP Mike Pence come and give a speech at the Mayflower. And he shared his solidarity to him and on behalf of President Trump. Their solidarity with the persecuted church in the Middle East and persecution for religious freedom around the world, regardless of faith.
So, Pastor Stephen, what's your message as you come to share with this summit? What is it that you want to communicate?
I'll be sharing tonight, actually, and my message, Brother Tony, is to the church is threefold. One is to be bold, be courageous. The second message to the church in America is to redeem the time. We are living in the end days. It's being born in Jerusalem, growing up in the city of Bethlehem, the birth city of Jesus. I'm seeing sign after sign of the end days, and we must redeem the time. And then the third message I'm challenging the church in the West is to look to Jerusalem, pray for Jerusalem, to visit Jerusalem. We'd love to come and visit churches here in America and to encourage leaders and pastors in their churches to bring in our stories to you guys to uplift you and to uplift the church in America.
Now, you're having somewhat of a difficult time there in Jerusalem as you minister in the area because of the Muslim influence, and you're an Arab Christian, and you're in Jerusalem, you're in Israel, and your Muslim neighbors are not too kind. And this is a difficult place to be, is it not?
It is very difficult a place to be because, you know, in other Middle Eastern countries, Brother Tony, you'll have one aspect of people are extreme, but they're they're illiterate, or they're very educated, but not extreme. In Jerusalem, you'll have all three embodied in one aspect of a very educated person that's very extreme, that's very fanatic, all in one embodiment. Thankfully, not all of them are that way, but there are many there are, and they would kill or be killed in a heartbeat. And our vision, our goal is to ask God to bring revival back to Jerusalem, and it's happening. I'm building relationships with the head imam of Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. They ask me questions about the end days. They ask me questions about the coming Messiah. They're hungry. They're hungry. They're open. And as you know the story, we've been kicked out of three rental properties in the last 13 years in the city of Jerusalem because of our stance of loving Israel. As an Arab ministry, by default, we're expected to hate the Jews. But we're an Arab ministry that love the Jews in a non-political basis, just a faith-based community where Jesus Christ said to love thy neighbor as thyself. And we love the Jews, so we go against the culture. And that has put us in hot water many times, from being attacked by bombs, firebombed. You know my story. At age 16, I was physically beaten and attacked for discipling a young Muslim who had questions about Jesus. You know the story of my father being shot at. And the list goes on, but we count it an honor to suffer for the sake of the gospel. And we're paying a big price for it. But thank God for people like you, Brother Tony, and others around who listen, who are part of what we're doing, because we can't do what we do without you guys.
Well, we want to continue to stand in solidarity with you, both in our prayers and our action. And I look forward to being back over there with you next year, or maybe even later this year in Jerusalem. But how can our listeners pray for you?
Thank you, Brother Tony. Well, one is pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And when Jesus Christ said that in Psalm, even he's talking about the peace of the heart, not the political peace. So pray for the peace of the heart that God could expand us to do more. People can reach out to our ministry, HolyLandMissions.org, where that's our U.S.-based 501c3, HolyLandMissions.org. And the third and last thing, President Trump is coming to Bethlehem on the 23rd. And because of our stance as an evangelical, born-again, conservative community, the PA will not give us a place at the table in Bethlehem. So we're calling and asking the State Department and the White House to request that our presence would be at the table in Bethlehem on May the 23rd so that we can have a voice when President Trump visits the city of Bethlehem. And we hope listeners can be a part in that. And Brother Tony, I know that's something that's on your heart as well.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what we can do as well to encourage that to happen. Stephen Corey, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Brother Tony. God bless everybody, and God bless America.
All right, brother. Brother Stephen Corey, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, don't go away. We're coming back, and we're going to be going to the phone lines here on Washington Watch. Hello, this is Tony Perkins, President of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join me, my wife, Luana, along with General Jerry Boykin and other special guests on our first ever Free to Believe Alaska cruise from July 29th to August the 5th. We'll sail from Seattle on Holland America's luxurious MS Yuridam, known for impeccable five-star service and incomparable cuisine. Some of the most breathtaking beauty in God's creation will surround you as you rest, relax, and worship. You'll witness stunning wildlife and the majestic scenery of Glacier Bay and relive Gold Rush history and classic frontier towns. And you'll hear the latest updates from Washington on the new administration and Congress. Come fellowship with other like-minded believers and journey with us on a vacation that will enrich your body, mind, and soul. For more information, call 844-872-5155 or visit TonyPerkins.com. Don't miss out. The number of cabins is limited. Again, that's 844-872-5155 or TonyPerkins.com.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Join Frank Turek, Richard Land, Norman Geisler, Greg Kokel, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Early bird pricing ends August 1st. Visit ses.edu for details.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms, in association with American Family Studios, introduces Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right, glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. All right, you know what Sunday is, right? It's Mother's Day. All right, make sure you don't forget. Be sure and put that in your smartphone or calendar. Write it down somewhere so you be sure and call your mother on Mother's Day or thank the mother of your children. All right, today we've been talking a lot about freedom. Talking about the freedom of religion in the workplace. We've been talking about the freedom of speech. Kimberly Strassel talking about that. And then, again, freedom of religion, talking about the conference that's going on, the World Summit in Defense of Persecuted Christians. You've heard me say this many times, and that is we protect our freedoms by using our freedoms. And here's what I want to talk about today. Excuse me. Here's what I want to talk about. On this Thursday, how are you? Tell me how you are protecting your freedom. I mean, all of us have a responsibility to protect the freedom. Give our listeners some ideas, some things that you're doing to use your freedom to protect that freedom. Maybe that will, encourage someone else to do that. So you share the ideas. 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. All right, a little different today, but I want to know, what are you doing to protect your freedom? Again, keeping in mind that we protect our freedoms by using those freedoms. And, you might encourage, just by you sharing an idea, might inspire someone else to take a similar stand in terms of using their freedoms. I do want to play a clip from while we're waiting the calls to come in. I'm going to play a clip. This was Vice President Mike Pence was speaking today at the summit. Stephen Corey made reference to him, and we got a clip of his. I mean, Mike gets this. I mean, I'm sorry, the Vice President gets this. He knows. He understands it. Here's what he had to say earlier today.
The president's commitment to protecting people of faith also will not end with the elimination of ISIS or the eradication of terror. Under President Donald Trump, America will continue to condemn persecution of any kind, of any faith, any place, any time. We will stand against it with our ideals and with all our might. The freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our conscience is at the very heart of who we are as Americans. And the limitations placed on people of belief have become too numerous to count. They range from violence to vandalism, forced conversion to crush free speech, blasphemy laws to building codes, to detainment, to death. Across the wider world, Christians face this and more. But to be clear, adherents of other religions across the world have not been spared. And we will speak for them and pray for them as well. For as history attests, persecution of one faith is ultimately the persecution of all faiths. President Trump will continue to stand without apology to protect this fundamental freedom, not just for our people, but stand for it in the world. Since the founding of our nation, America has stood for the proposition that the right to believe, the right to act on one's beliefs is the right of all peoples at all times. Protecting and promoting religious freedom is a foreign policy priority of the Trump administration.
And let me tell you, that is so good to hear, because it has not been a priority. In fact, it has been a non-priority. I mean, it's been trampled upon by the previous administration. But back to my question, because the foreign policy and this threat to religious freedom abroad, again, is intertwined and inextricably connected to the health and vitality of religious freedom here at home. If our government, like the Trump administration, well, the president said last week that his administration will vigorously protect and promote religious freedom as a policy of his administration, that sends messages overseas that it's a priority again for America. But you and I got to be a part of that. We have to protect this freedom. We can't wait for government to do it. Government can't protect the freedom unless we're using that freedom. And we can defend it by using it. So that's what we want to talk about today. Let's go to Missouri, where Larry is on the line. Larry, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I was compelled to call when you talked about defending our freedom. I'm a member of the Sons of the American Revolution. I have over 10, I'm a direct descendant of over 10 Revolutionary War soldiers. And as a member, our dues also go for perpetuating the memory of those heroes who suffered and died and the hardships them and their families went through. We have educational outreaches trying to get the American history back into our classrooms. I know it's probably no longer vogue, but we still believe that it's just as relevant today as it was 250 years ago. Also, on my Facebook page, I defend the Constitution, and freedoms and stuff like that.
Well, Larry, I think that is essential, the educational component. And I think, if you're over, 35 or 40, maybe you think that everybody knows what you know because they used to teach that stuff. They don't teach it anymore. They're very selective in the history that they speak, teach about. And so you're absolutely right, Larry, to know the sacrifice and why there was sacrifice and what was at stake is critical to defending the freedom going forward, because there is a lack of understanding that there is a high price for freedom. Larry, thanks so much for listening, and thanks for being a first-time caller. Let's go to Louisiana, where Chris is on the line. Chris, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for taking the call. For us, defending freedom, I'm a third-generation veteran. My father's a retired Marine. His father was a Marine. My son has served a hitch in the Army. And first and foremost, I mean, even with all the issues with our leadership, that's something we were always taught growing up was, first, we have to defend the freedoms that we already have. And second, the church I'm a member of, which you're quite familiar with, the Church International, based out of Santa Monica, Louisiana, our belief is the church doesn't lie within the four walls of the church. It's outside in the world. We have to get out into the world and basically let the light shine and to allow our beliefs as what's laid out in the Bible, God's word, to be put out to everyone. And pretty much that's the main two areas that I have done personally.
Well, and those are two very important areas. And, Chris, thank you for your service and Semper Fi to your father and grandfather. And Mark Sturmer, of course, pastor there at the Church International, doing a great job. And you are absolutely correct. He's a Marine veteran as well. Stepping outside the walls of the church to take the church to the community and serve. Because I know Mark well, served with him in a couple of relief efforts after hurricanes. But it's not just service for the sake of service. It's service taking the truth of the kingdom to people and building those relationships. So you're absolutely correct. We got to get out of the four walls of the church, and that's one great way to preserve that freedom. Chris, thanks so much for calling. Let's go to Virginia, where Karen is on the line. Karen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. I'm a first-time caller also. And
well, welcome.
Thank you. I want to say when the Tea Party was active, I was a member. I have always, without apology, I have no use for politically correct speech. I have no use for that. I speak about God openly to people. I'm helpful when I can be, but I don't take any guff from anyone. I am the Second Amendment. I have a concealed carry permit, which I keep active. And P.S., I'm 65, so that's probably, you know, a 65-year-old woman. Probably a strange thing. But I make no apologies to anyone. I too had a grandfather who was an Army, a colonel. My father was a CB in World War II. I stand up for freedom, and I just don't take any politically correct stuff from anyone.
Well, keep standing. Keep standing, Karen, because that is, I'm the same way. I mean, I know what you're saying in terms of the politically correct. People want to, you know, put everything in this, you don't want to offend anybody. You got to be careful what you say. It's got to all go through this politically correct lens. And, you know, I'm not for offending people, but I don't think you need to dance around the truth. And you need to speak the truth. Speak it in love, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, but speak the truth. Thanks, Karen, and thanks for being a first-time caller. Let's go to Texas, where Flo is on the line. Flo, welcome to Washington Watch.
Congratulations to Karen. Right on, lady. We need for her to be out there leading us. How are you doing today, Tony?
I'm very well. And yourself?
Okay. I'm going to try to make this as brief as possible, but I've got a lot on my mind. Okay, one of the things that we must do, and people have to be educated, totally. We have to know who it is that's doing this to us and what their agenda is. Bottom line.
Well, and Kimberly's book that I talked about earlier is a good place to start because it really kind of lays out the plan of the left and what they're doing. And you're right, we got to be aware of that. Go ahead, Flo.
You're saying, oh, well, they're doing this to this in the schools, or oh, they're doing this to this in the church. It's a big, big plan. It's been going on for many, many years, just building force. And you've got two different satanic groups, and you've got to realize who you're fighting and what their plan is to do. And the first one is the global elite, and the other one is the Islam-Muslim Brotherhood. And you can't say that Islam, which is a government, that they're a good people, they're peace-loving, all that. I mean, when the Pope gets out there and he hugs the Imam and says, oh, this is peace, and we've got to welcome all these people in, That's the whole point, is with Barack Obama, who is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood and has been. He's been a Muslim since he was born, and he's very active. They are growing in force. He and George Soros, all these guys, I mean, people in the government like John McCain, I mean, those are all part of this global elitist group. I mean, we're fighting a huge situation, and we've got to stop and think about it. People say, oh, well, I haven't seen anything about that. Oh, it must be, there's nothing going on. It just appears like everything's going great. We're having a little bit of problems in our schools. We're having major problems in our schools, and that's the whole point, is they're trying to destroy us through our children, make mm-hmm. them into wusses to where they can't even function, and then they're hoping that all of us will either die off or they'll kill us off, one or the other, all the older ones that are actually in control.
Well, and they're not having children to speak of, and so what they want to do is they want to take our children and indoctrinate them into the left's way of thinking. I mean, you think about it. Children are most impressionable. And this, we were talking about earlier in the week, that 4 to 14 age period, which, as we talked about, 83% of Christians came to know the Lord during that time. Well, they don't want that to happen. They want to zealously guard kids from being exposed to a choice of faith. And they indoctrinate them. I mean, even down to kindergarten now, they're teaching them about same-sex marriage and homosexuality and all of this stuff. That's in the curriculum in our schools. And so you're absolutely right, Flo. We've got to, the way this advances is that we don't say anything. We don't want to be, you know, we don't want to create waves. We don't want conflict. We don't want to be marginalized and called names, as Kimberly Strassel was talking about earlier. In the intimidation game, how they do that, they label you a name. I mean, the Southern Poverty Law Center did that to a parents group up in Minnesota that was opposed to their radical sexual policy a few years ago. And so they labeled the parents group a hate group, along with the Ku Klux Klan. And that's the intimidation game. And so people say, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want that to be said about me. So they shrink back in silence. Folks, look, it is time to speak up. It is time to stand up. It is time to speak up. Now, again, we do so with respect. We do so in love. Our goal is not to win an argument, but to win the hearts and minds of people by speaking truth. And you don't win people over with silence, okay? Because they take that to be affirmation. We have to speak the truth and stand up for it. Flo, thanks so much for calling. Sorry, I'm not going to get to the rest of the calls, out of time today. But again, let me remind you, this coming Sunday, Mother's Day, make sure you thank your mother. If you have the opportunity, do that. Folks, great to have you with us today. I'm going to leave you, as we're coming up to the top of the hour, once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6. And you know what? It relates to what we're talking about. You know, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, doesn't matter what they call you, doesn't matter what they say about you, guess what? He says, just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.